Sometimes when I'm talking to our school kids at their masses, I've asked them the question, where is heaven? And most of the time, kids will point toward the sky and they'll say, there, somewhere up there. And because the concept kingdom of God is closely associated with the term heaven, I won't be surprised if many of us think similarly. The kingdom of heaven is somewhere up there, far beyond our reach, far beyond our experience in the here. And even though Jesus taught his disciples and us to pray, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And even though we pray it Sunday after Sunday, I suspect that many of us consider the kingdom of God to be something that's outside our realm of experience. It is a very abstract concept in one sense, isn't it? It's not like you can go to Expedia.com and put in there, where are you traveling to, kingdom of God, and most probably it'll tell you not found. You can't buy a ticket to the kingdom of God. And Jesus himself was aware of that. That's why he used parables to explain the kingdom. And just by the parable we have in today's gospel, it's still not clear what the kingdom of God is, even though he uses the example of a mustard seed. So I think what we must do to understand the kingdom is to put all of the teachings of Jesus about the kingdom and then piece it together. And my hope is that in our reflection, we will realize that the kingdom of God is not as abstract as we think it is. So I want to reflect on the kingdom of God based on three questions. And please follow my reasoning carefully, because the second point builds on the first and the third builds on the second. So, three questions that I ask is, first, what is the kingdom? Secondly, where is the kingdom? And thirdly, how can I build or bring forth the kingdom? And at the end of it all, I hope we all say, gosh, the kingdom is real, isn't it? And I've got something to do with it, isn't it? In the here and now. So first, what is the kingdom? The kingdom of God is based on certain core values or virtues that are associated with God as we know God in the scriptures. So, for example, the kingdom of God is wherever, hear these virtues very carefully. The kingdom of God is wherever peace, love, righteousness, joy, patience, kindness, fidelity, generosity, and self-control prevail. Now, I didn't make those virtues up. This is from Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 26. These are the virtues that we associate with God. And wherever we can find these virtues, that they prevail, we can say the kingdom of God is there. The primary virtue on which the kingdom rests is love. Even though I've enumerated a number of those virtues, the one virtue that holds all these other virtues together is love. That's why Jesus would emphasize love so much. And in fact, he brought down all the commandments into two. He said, love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. My second point, where is the kingdom? So I'm going to move forward. I've explained very briefly, and the first point will become clearer to you in the second point. Because the kingdom of God is an abstract reality, or at least it seems to be an abstract concept, does not mean it's not real. If I had to show you where the United States of America exists, what would I do? I would take the globe, spin it till I come to the point here. This is United States. This are the boundaries of the United States. The kingdom of God is as real, even though I cannot point it on the map. And I say this for a couple of reasons. First, the kingdom of God is real because Jesus is real. In Jesus, you find these virtues: peace, love, righteousness, joy, patience, kindness, fidelity, generosity, self-control. You find these virtues in its perfection in Jesus. So in one sense, Jesus is the kingdom. And I am sure all of us are present here because we believe Jesus is real, right? Otherwise, we are wasting our time. But the kingdom, apart from Jesus, does not exist in a vacuum. If I want to point out to the kingdom, I would not go to a map. I would go to another Christian and point to his heart, to my heart, because the human heart is the domain of the kingdom of God. And so just as I said the kingdom is real because Jesus is real, I want to say the kingdom is real because you and I are real. It is in the human heart that love, joy, peace, righteousness, patience, generosity take root and flourish, isn't it? It doesn't, all these virtues don't flourish in a vacuum somewhere. No, it flourishes in the human heart. The human heart is the most sacred space of the kingdom. Here within us is where the kingdom takes root and flourishes. So in one sense, we should be able to point out to each other and say, the kingdom of God is here. How can I bring forth the kingdom? How can I build the kingdom? I want to use an example. Just for a moment, I want you to look at the crucifix right there. Jesus hanging on the cross. In one sense, this is Jesus' weakest moment. His hands are nailed. He can't move. He can barely breathe. His feet are nailed. And yet, this is Jesus' strongest moment. On the cross, Jesus is not just dying. He's bringing forth the kingdom, even in the weakest moment. In the forgiveness he showed towards his enemies. In the faith that he had in God, even in that moment, where he says, "Into your hands I commend my spirit." Even as he's dying, in his care for his disciples and his mother, before Pilate, standing for the truth, in this moment of suffering, having compassion on the repentant thief, seeing all of these things, he's bringing forth the kingdom. That's why I said, even though this is Jesus' weakest moment, this is also his strongest moment, because he's not just helplessly lying there in self-pity. No, even in that moment, he's living out love, joy, peace, patience, generosity, kindness, self-control. He's living all that out on the cross. On that day, he was the mustard seed. Small, one person, standing up for something that he believed. He was the mustard seed. And Jesus calls us then to become that mustard seed, because in our hearts, which is the sacred space of the kingdom, we have the opportunity, the responsibility to take those virtues that Jesus lived and live it in our lives. So take your home, for example. What is home like? Can you be the mustard seed? Can each person in your home try to live out peace and love and joy, even though it is hard, just like Jesus on the cross? Your workplace, you have the worst boss maybe. You have the worst people to work for. Could it be worse than what Jesus encountered? How could you be the one who brings forth the kingdom at work? A disciple is one who consciously brings forth the kingdom of God. Now, I asked you in the beginning, is the kingdom real? Is the kingdom a concrete reality? And I want to say yes and no. Yes, to the extent that you and I bring forth the kingdom. And no, to the extent that we don't do that. That's why Jesus taught his disciples to pray, "Thy kingdom come on earth." Who's going to bring it? You and I. That is what makes the kingdom real. So the kingdom is real, it's not abstract, but it depends on you and me. What happens Sunday, and I'm going to conclude with this, what happens Sunday after Sunday is a group of people, a community that comes together that believes that we are building the kingdom. This gathering is an expression of the kingdom. And we come before the one who is the perfect example, or he is the kingdom, Jesus. This Christ who showed us what it means to build the kingdom, we receive this Christ into the depth of our heart, and in one sense, the kingdom becomes a reality in us at every Eucharist, because Jesus becomes a reality. And then we take this in our hearts, and we go to our homes, and we go to our workplaces, and we go to our leisure, and we go to wherever God sends us, and we say, I today am going to bring forth the kingdom of God by living out love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, self-control. So I hope that is helpful for you, and let's together then, as a parish community, bring forth the kingdom of God. People of God said.